Who has read the book of Psalms before? If you're not exactly familiar, if you've got a Bible and you kind of flop it open in the middle, you're kind of hitting Psalms. But I have been reading the Bible for many years now. And recently I was reading, and then I read a different version of the Bible each year just to try and keep it fresh, hear a different translation, see what's kind of brought out. And in the particular version, I was noticed this title before the first psalm in Psalm 120, and it said, "A Song of Ascent." I was like, huh, that's interesting. I've never really noticed that before. And, you know, kind of poured through that psalm for the day, and then the next day, "A Song of Ascent." I'm like, huh. It took a few days before the penny dropped. And there are actually 15 of these psalms that come in succession with this same title. And so I wanted to unpack my moment with you this morning, because, you know, I had completely missed it for, you know, a couple of decades. And so has anyone actually noticed that before in your Bible? A few of you? Well, good for you. For the rest of us, I'm talking to you. But let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for the incredible opportunity to gather, to be the ecclesia, to be gathered as your community, a people called to love you, to know you, and we thank you that we are loved by you. Lord God, may you reach our minds, our hearts, and transform us. May we walk back out these doors to our delicious morning tea changed, and may we not just nod and smile and say, yeah, that was good, and then just continue on with lives. Lord, may we always know your transformative power in our situation, in our mind, in our heart, in everything we do. We commit our time to you. Amen. So now that we know a few of you are smarty pantses who know things, in different versions, this "A Song of Ascent," it also says, one particular version says, "A song for the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem." Repeat that one 10 times really fast. Or "A song for those going up to worship the Lord in Jerusalem," or "A song for the pilgrims." And that reminds me of a very old book, well, not very old, but old book called Pilgrim's Progress. Has anyone read that before? It's not a word you use a lot these days, but essentially it means a disciple, a pilgrim, someone on a journey to reach something particularly. But for Beck's version today, I'm calling it "The Songs of Ascent." So does anyone know what the word "ascend" means? You can just call it out, like going up, yes, up, like an uphill climb, kind of like a travelator, but with stairs, an escalator. Though these particular psalms, this collection of psalms starting from 120, they were actually written, if you look into the history behind these psalms, there was back in the day, going to worship the Lord, as some of, you know, one of these titles, the psalms for those going up to worship the Lord. Going to church wasn't simply just popping in your car and driving down the road. The mode of transport was these two things here called legs, or if you were very rich, like a donkey or something like that. And Jerusalem, so the way the original law had been written, given by God, was at specific times of the year, you had to make journeys to go to Jerusalem to make sacrifice, to worship the Lord. So it wasn't a weekly thing, and we say thank you, Jesus, for that curtain being torn and a way made for us to be in relationship, and we can celebrate God every day. But back, you know, pre-Jesus coming, three times a year, the head of the household went to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices and worship the Lord. It was a bit of a messy experience. I'm so grateful I don't need to do it now. But head of the household on these lovely two legs would have to hoof it to Jerusalem to go worship God. And if you know anything about the geography and landscape or the contour lines, as a trivia question last night that we did not get right on our team, Jerusalem was up a hill. And not just like a little hill, like it was a rocky, mountainous, boulders, gravel, tiny stones. Like they had to work for it to go and worship God. How easy do we have it? We can come in our air-conditioned car with our little buttony things. We've driven some cars that people have loaned us, and it's not even like a gear shift thingy. It's buttons. Like it's very trippy. And we've got Spotify and Google Maps. But these guys, through the rain, through the snow, through the anything, they are like, you know, going on foot to go worship God. So these songs were written for these specific times, which in case you're wondering, what are those times? The Passover, the Festival of Weeks, and the Tabernacles. And so these songs were actually written for those head of the household going to, you know, be on behalf of the family to go and worship God as per the law. And so imagine trudging through in your little jandals or your little Birkenstocks and your robe, and then it's pouring rain and you're getting all wet and muddy. It could be a bit of a miserable journey. I'm a person, as is my daughter, who does life through soundtrack. We love having our music going. Anyone else love music and they've got like a song for practically everything? Like if we're in the car, the music is on. If you're on the motorbike, the horns are the ambience. But we love the music going. And so these songs were written for these pilgrims, for these disciples going to worship God, to encourage them on their journey, to remind them why they were on the journey in the first place and who they were going, you know, the whole point of going on this journey. And so sometimes, if we could go to the one before that, sometimes people like to think, you know, Christianity and life with God looks like this. Everyone's shining their little horsen, or, you know, it's these, you know, iStock photos and it's all glamorous and fabulous. But anyone who's actually survived more than, you know, a couple of months in life in general knows it's more like the next one. You're not the tourist, you're the pilgrim, you're the disciple. If you're really honest, sometimes you're gripping on for dear life with a pickaxe on the side of a mountain. Other times it's very wet and you're a bit of a pack horse carrying all your kind of your gear to get to church, setting up the cafe, or, you know, it's like, or, you know, or it's the soggy, boggy mud where there's not a clean part of you. But that is the call of the disciple, the pilgrim who is ascending to go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And all of us, we are on a journey, right? Yes, if you have a pulse and you're upright, we all have a journey. God has given us life and there's a point to it. But sometimes that journey can be rough and tough. It's not all roses. But these particular psalms speak into this journey and offer encouragement for these pilgrims back in the day. And if you believe that the Word of God is alive and active and relevant to us today, we can actually look at these psalms and apply them very much to our life and be encouraged. So we're going to unpack all 15 of them this month. Just one, don't freak out. And that's Psalm 124. And if I was to give it a name, I would say the Lord is our help. It's only 8 verses, but incredibly powerful, even in its brevity. And these particular psalms, they really, and this one, which is a favourite of mine, really speaks of that pilgrimage, that journey. And if we are, that's why I've entitled this message, Songs for the Journey. And I encourage you, go back home, you know, this week, have a read through or put them on audio, you know, something, and be encouraged. And think about your own journey. Because not only do we all have a pulse and a breathing and are on the life journey, but who knows, we go through seasons. There are smaller journeys that make up the big journey. And think about, I encourage you this morning, your particular journey where you're at right now. Is it a journey towards provision, financial, employment, mortgage, some gigantic medical bill that's just come up and you have no idea how you're going to pay for it? Is it a journey towards health? You just keep getting diagnoses after diagnoses and none of them are good. And your list for miracles is growing longer. Is it a journey towards restoration of relationship? A relationship that you've just been plodding away at, or there's that niggle, you know, to try and reconcile and you just don't know. We are all on a journey. And those journeys can often be small journeys that, you know, make up that whole big part. But as we look at this psalm this morning, I want to encourage us with four R's that God has spoken to me about, reminding me in this particular psalm that the Lord is our help, that He is very much alive and active and with us on this journey as we go to worship Him. The whole point of our lives is to be an offering, you know, that is fragrant to Him, that attracts others to the love of God, not repels them like Dorian. We are to call and to beckon, to encourage, to be the hands, the feet, as Pastor Deb said, the body, you know, the whole Jesus to this world. So the first, if you're wondering how on earth is this relevant, and the first thing is to remember. As we look at this psalm, I'll read the first few verses. Verses 1 to 5. Here is what Israel should say. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side. And what do you know? Suppose the Lord had not been on our side, they would have been like a flood that drowned us. They would have swept over us like a rushing river. They would have washed us away like a swollen stream. And other versions are like, what if God had not been there? Or if God had not been on our side. The beautiful thing that we can know that we know and count on our journey is that when we remember, not look back and reminisce and regret, not a Lot's wife looking back when told, stop it. But when we actually intentionally remember the faithfulness of God, and when we look back in remembrance of, wow, He got us through that season, that journey, that cliff face, and we see the next one, we're like, how can I do that? It's important for us to remember where we have just been and where He's just brought us through. The Israelites, if you read your Old Testament, you see time where they would be on a spiritual high and they would remember God, offer sacrifices. I was just reading this morning about a festival with King Solomon. And they just did 7 days celebrating a particular festival and then another 7 days celebrating the temple. So for 14 days, they just feasted and remembered God corporately in fellowship. And then, two chapters later, he and his posse of girlfriends and he started worshiping other people, other gods. And then God's like, because you were naughty, but bow, here's your consequences. And if you read the Bible, there's this loop, this cycle where people loved God. I remember your breakthrough. I remember how you brought us out of the promised land. I remember all this. And then they got bogged down with life and then they forgot. And they strayed away and made whoopses. And this is not just an Old Testament thing. Think New Testament, 12 disciples, well, 11 by this stage. They lived with Jesus, the Christ, lived with Him, worked with Him, ministered with Him. Amazing. He rises from the dead. He appears to them. He's doing life with them, walking down the road, having big old chats, and they don't even recognize Him. And then they go back to their old things. If you read, they go back to fishing even. They literally go back to their old habits, their old patterns, and they forgot. It is important for us to remember that our God is with us. Remember, as King David, he's credited as the author of this psalm. He remembers. He says, suppose the Lord had not been on our side. Bum, bum, this XXX could have happened. If God hadn't been there, dun, dun, this could have happened. And again and again, we see, going back, how important it is to see that our God is with us, that He is there in our midst, He is for us, and He has already been working on our behalf, even when we're just feeling overwhelmed. The second R, so first is to remember, the second thing is to recognize. It is also important for us to recognize not only how God has come through in our past, but actually recognize that He is not only a God of the past, of our history, but He is a God of our present. He is with us in our now, and that He is for us in our future. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. But the Lord also tells us that He is with us. Jesus was fully God, yet fully man. God was so intentional that He would know pain, not just see our pain, but that He would do something about it, that He would be there in the midst of it. There's a famous poem called Footprints in the Sand, and it talks about this person's like, when things were going really tough, there was only one set of footprints in my challenge, in my trial. Wow, where were you, God? Has anyone ever wow, where were you, God? Just me? All right. But then God says, hey, you silly goose. It was when it was rough and tough that I was carrying you. And it reminds me that so often we are so focused on our own 2 feet in our journey and trying to be faithful in our journey that we forget that God is with us in that journey. He's the entire reason we're on the journey in the first place, and how important it is for us to recognize that He's with us in the midst of it, cheering us on, wiping the mud off our eyes, helping us, you know, get our pickaxe and put it in the right part of the cliff face, catching us when we fall. And as the psalm continues, it says, give praise to the Lord. He has not let our enemies chew us up. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap has been broken and we have escaped. So it's important to not only remember God, intentionally remember where He is broken through, but to recognize that He is with us in our now and He is for us in our future. And then to remember, you know, as Romans says, hey, if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, these are things for us to quote, not just as a holy quote, but to cheer us up, to encourage us. And thirdly, to rejoice. So to remember, to recognize, and to rejoice. Who knows when you are going through a soggy, boggy mud moment, you're covered in snow, you're wet, you're cold, you're shivering, you're feeling revolting and dirty. It can be really hard to rejoice. But it is important to know that happiness and joy are 2 very different things. To be happy is based on the moment, on your circumstance, how you're feeling, whether you had your coffee this morning, whether you had a good sleep, whether brunch was good, whether so-and-so looked at you the right way. Joy and rejoicing, which means over and over and over again, is an intentional choice. It's a choice of, this doctor's report sucks. I know personally, I have had now 11 surgeries and I just got told 2 weeks ago I need another 2. And there's another one, so technically 4. The news is terrible. I don't like it. And I have been on quarantine that many times, it's ridiculous, and stayed in hospital way too much. And sometimes it can be really hard to rejoice. I remember one time I just arrested on the table. I can like be a little bit gleeful about it now because I didn't die and I know God's not done yet. But, and I was very sick, and it was very hard to rejoice sometimes. I had to listen to my Bible. It was a struggle to read because of the nausea. And there was one particular song that I really just struggled to sing, Good, Good Father. I could not form the words. Like I would burst into tears and just get so overwhelmed with why? Like how are you moving? What's the point of all this? And yet I do not know all the ins and outs of when my healing is going to happen. Healings. I know my list is getting longer, but I praise God that I know the who, and I can rejoice in knowing the who. And just in case you're curious, I can sing that song again now. But it was an intentional choice, like a lot of intentional choices. And sometimes getting through the mud, the snow, putting your pickaxe, it's intentional to grip into that wall when all the storms seem to be raging. So we need to remember, to recognize, to rejoice. We've got to put that choice, to put on our big boy or girl boots and push through and say, God, I rejoice. Or your choice is to give in. What's the point of that? And then finally, to rethink. So often we do not rethink. Just because a thought goes through our head doesn't make it true. Just because a situation happens and we perceive it a certain way doesn't make it accurate. It's time, instead of saying, what if, or suppose God, instead of it being, well, what if, like, you know, what else could go wrong? Instead of phrasing it like that, it's time to rethink, to realign, to re-perceive what God is doing and say, what if God is on my side? What if God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do? What can my God do? And as we see in that last verse in Psalm 124, a help comes from the Lord, comes, not came, comes from the Lord. He is, not was, he is the maker of heaven and earth. So I ask you this morning as I close and the team come up, please, what journey are you on right now? What part of the journey are you on right now? Is it soggy, boggy mud? Are you feeling in the snow? Are you on a cliff face? You feel like you're going through the desert? Remember, each of us have a calling, have a purpose. There's a reason for your life. You are not here by accident or a grand whoops or a grand bang and ta-da, there you are. There is an incredible purpose and plan to you. You have great value. You have great dignity. And God says, you're on a journey on purpose. I've orchestrated all of these events. I have been with you in your past, but I am with you now. And I will be with you in your future. I am your help. I am the creator of heaven and earth. And I am working for you. I'm in you. I'm for you. I'm behind you. I'm above you. I'm beside you. And sometimes I carry you. So this morning, I would ask if the team can start to strum away. But can I ask you to stand this morning? And I don't know if you've ever done this before, and I apologize if I'm getting it wrong. But as the team plays, I want to pray over us this morning. But instead of just praying over us, if you feel comfortable, how about you get in what I would call a holy huddle? Get with a neighbor, a buddy, whoever you kind of came with or you're comfortable with. And how about you pray for each other on the journey that they're in? You may not know the details. That's okay. God does things regardless of whether we know or not. We're along for the ride sometimes. But how about you gather together in pairs, little groups, and just stand in agreement together that God, you are our help, that you are with us, that you are for us, you are on this journey. And the team will strum and sing, but let's pray together and not leave this morning without claiming that God is my help. He is here, he is moving. And so let's gather together now. I'm going to stop prattling and let's pray.